If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
Welcome to my birthday month. That's right.
Really?
Yeah, it's my birthday this month.
What day?
The 12th.
Oh, so you got math. Carry the one, 11 days.
Yeah, no big deal.
There you go.
No big deal. What are you going to get me? All right, what are we doing for the next 2 hours?
Next 2 hours on the Eric Gaines Show, man, we are jam-packed. Coming up here in just a minute, Alabama AD Greg Byrne yesterday, he made some pretty interesting comments about the potential 8-game, 9-game schedule in the SEC down there yesterday at the SEC spring meetings. He said something me and you hit on just a bit yesterday. I think that they probably need to hear from the college football playoff what the criteria is, what they are going to look at, and kind of go off of, set some precedent when it comes to strength of schedule. Greg Byrne, he reiterated those comments as well yesterday. The NBA Finals starts tonight.
Okay.
We thumbs up, thumbs down on it.
Yeah, it's the NBA Finals. Okay, I mean, well, sure. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not appointment TV, you know, everybody.
It's not LeBron or Steph. That sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I just, if you like good basketball, watching the Denver Nuggets play, and if you're in the Miami Heat, like if you like elite athletes playing team basketball, you do have two teams that play good team ball. So I mean, it'll be entertaining. It'll be on the TV.
Speaking of elite athletes, Jimmy Himes, he joins us live from Destin. He got to talk with a couple of SEC head coaches yesterday. He talked with our boy Lane Kiffin. Want to ask him, he's got three quarterbacks that are pretty good on that roster, who he's looking at. We'll get Jimmy's comments on that coming up a little bit later as well. Then 11 o'clock, because it's a Thursday, we play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Actually, Brian Rice is going to be joining us to play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Then he's going to be joining us to preview Tennessee, Alabama today over there on AM 990. That is first pitch at noon at the Women's College World Series. And network coverage begins at 11:45. Once again, that's on AM 990. Then it's also Thursday, 11:30. Tyler Wyatt joins us for Upset of the Week. So, and yesterday at the SEC spring meetings, Alabama Athletic Director Greg Byrne, when asked about the 8-9 game schedule, this is what he said. The expanded playoff has to be discussed. What does that load look like? To me, if we're going to play more Power 5 games and SEC games, let's make sure that we're rewarded for strength of schedule.
I don't disagree with that.
Exactly.
He's saying that's the argument we were making yesterday, and we had a couple callers that did as well, which is playing an 8-game SEC schedule is much harder than playing a 9-game Big 12 schedule or a 9-game ACC schedule. So I think it's already not apples to apples.
Let's take this year, for example. Let's say that Florida, the big three, let's say Florida, Alabama, and Georgia are all top 12, top 15, top 10 teams, okay? And let's say Tennessee is in that same category, but they go 0-3 against Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, and those three teams are in the college football playoff under a 12-team format. If you're Tennessee, you sit there 9-3, having to play, six SEC wins. You're 6-3 in the SEC with losses to top 12 teams. You're also a top 15 team yourself. Are you in?
I don't think you're in. You might. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, it's going to be a hard argument. This is why he says strength of schedule, but it's going to be a hard argument if you're a 9-3 SEC team with three, let's just call them top 10 losses. Okay. Cause that happens often for SEC teams where you play three top 10 teams in a year, depending on what school you are and your schedule. So let's say you're 9-3 and you have three top 10 losses to three teams that are going to be in the college football playoff. One of them is an SEC champion. And then two of those other teams, the other two teams in there that are top 10 teams, are your next bids
exactly
in afterwards.
I would say that those three teams are in.
Those three teams would be in. So you're sitting there at 9-3, and then you go, okay, well, there's already three SEC teams. This is where they lose me a little bit because they do care about how many teams from each conference get in. So you end up sitting there going, okay, are we going to let a fourth SEC team in that's 9-3 over – a 10-2 team in the Big Ten.
Right.
And that I believe they will put the 10-2 Big Ten team in, and then the SEC team will say, they lost two games, one of which was to number 2 Michigan, and the other one was to number 14 Penn State.
Or so an unranked Purdue team.
Or whatever. Yeah, whoever. Exactly. But you're going, okay, so they did lose. Oh, we lost to 3 top 10 teams. You can't penalize us when they didn't even play 3 top 10 teams. I get that's not a new argument, but I don't believe that the 9-3 SEC team with 3 top 10 losses is going to get in over a team with a better record. Especially if we, I know you're saying this is a 9-game scenario, but if you're an 8-game scenario SEC team with 3 top 10 losses
and
another Power 5 win, and the other teams are going, whoa, we play 9 conference games and right. we went 10-2. You play 8 conference games and you went 9-3. I think you would lose the argument right there. I don't think they would even look further than that. You got to play the same amount of games, and I still don't. But that's why Greg Byrne's saying that. I still don't think you get rewarded for it. They care too much about how many teams from each conference get in. If you just went based on quality wins, quality losses, strength of schedule, and you did it like more mathematical, then the 9-3 SEC team would have a better resume to get in than the 10-2 Big Ten team with only one loss to one good team and only played 2 other ranked teams all year long.
But it's so hard. Let's say in this 6-3 rotation, whatever the 9-game, this is a 9-game schedule. Alabama's probably going to be one of your permanent 3. And then let's say that you get unlucky one year and you draw all 3 of those teams. So you have to play the Big 3 and all 3 of the Big 3 are really good. If you played an 8-game schedule, you're potentially only playing 2 of those teams a year. Now, maybe some years you might play, 3 of the Big 3. See, that's what I think a lot of the ADs and head coaches want to know. If we're playing 9 games, how many teams in the SEC, Ainge, every single year are ranked inside the top 25? At least
6.
At least 6 or 7.
5, 6, 7.
And especially whenever you bring in 2 really good programs in Oklahoma, who has been a top 25, top 15 team basically every single year for the last 10, 12 years. And then Texas, who is Texas. I think Steve Sarkisian is going to have them back. They're getting a lot of college football playoff love this year as well. You have 8 of your 16 SEC teams inside the top 20, top 25. No other conference has that. I do think that you have to reward the SEC with strength of schedule if they're going to go to 9 games with just how loaded this conference is. And that's what everyone's questioning.
And I don't blame Greg Byrne from Alabama for being like, we just want to know. Just let us know. How much are you going to weigh it? Because they do weigh it. But even last year...
Well, we don't know how much, though.
But last year, they started looking at... What was the conversation last year? Quality losses. Remember the committee and the...
Yeah.
They started saying, well, these quality losses.
I love that phrase, quality losses.
You lost, Alabama. They lost to 2 really good football teams, and they barely lost at the very end of the game. A field goal and a 2-point conversion.
I wonder what it was. They were comparing the Oregon loss to Georgia with the Tennessee loss to Georgia.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, these things aren't the same. You got blown out by 30 plus.
Neither one was ever really in doubt. The Oregon game was over in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was awful.
So, yeah, no, that's – but I don't know, man. I just think it's fair for the SEC coaches, presidents, chancellors to say, okay, you want us to play 9. I think it's evident that Sankey and the rest of the country too wants the SEC to just bite the bullet and just move to 9 like everybody else. I think that's what they want. What they do from a scheduling standpoint after that, obviously up to the SEC, but I think the rest of the country wants them at 9. I think Greg Sankey wants us at 9. ESPN does, even though they're not going to pay for it. So.
Yet.
True. I don't blame Greg Byrne for saying, I want to know what this means. Okay, we go to 9, we have to add another game. The game we add on a random year is drawing a top 10 LSU program or a top 10 whoever program. What does that do to us in a 12-team college football playoff?
Right.
Here's the deal. You said there's 7 or 8 teams on any given year that have a chance to be a top 10, 15 team in the SEC. I think that's true. The race is to be in the top 4. The race is really to be in the top three, because if you're in the top three in a 12-team playoff, I believe you will be in the 12-team playoff.
Oh yeah, well, first four, you know, seeds get that first round bye.
So if you're the best team in the SEC, the second best team in the SEC, and the third best team in the SEC, I think on that year, if you're 1, 2, or 3 in the conference, you're gonna be in the 12-team playoff. I think it will blow my mind if there's years where there's only two teams from the SEC in a playoff. I think you will see three more often than not. The race is to get in the top three.
I think you see four more than you see two.
Maybe. Yeah, I would agree with that. The race is to be in that top four then. You need to be in that 10-2 range, and you need to win big games, and you need to be in the top four in the SEC. Because there's what? You get five automatic bids, right, from the Power Five conferences, and then the next highest non-Power Five, right?
Yes.
So six of your 12 are taken with conference champions. So that leaves six other spots for the rest of the country. So in those six spots, to get two more teams from the SEC, like last year, you would have had Georgia, you also would have had Alabama, and you also would have had Tennessee. Yeah. And you would have had three teams in the 12-team playoff last year. And I think that is going to be rather normal moving forward. I think you're going to see three in there. And if that's the case, then if you're South Carolina or Florida or Tennessee or Ole Miss or LSU, all these teams are fighting. Texas A&M needs to be with the roster they have. You're fighting to be with Alabama and Georgia, because I think it's almost a foregone conclusion they're going to be in the playoff almost every year. Can of the next five teams, and then Texas is coming, Oklahoma's coming. You got, like you just said, 6-7 teams vying for one, possibly two spots out of the Southeastern Conference. That is incredible competition. And then you're talking about adding another game. So all those teams are going, it's already an arms race for one spot between six schools, man.
And the Big Ten has, at most, this year, you would say, okay, Michigan, yes, I think Michigan's going to be better than they were this year than, you know, 2 years ago. Ohio State, for sure.
Not going anywhere.
And then Penn State as well.
Penn State's
should be really
good.
I think this year as well. So that's the second conference. You have three that are – you wouldn't be surprised if Penn State, Ohio State, or Michigan were in the playoff every single year.
Yeah, because you can
go – every other conference. I mean, Florida State, Clemson, I guess maybe Miami, just because of what the program is or has been.
But if you play the same amount of conference games, if you do that, then you eliminate they don't play as many games. If you take that off the table, then if you're a 7-2 team from the SEC and you're a 7-2 team from any other conference,
it's not equal.
The SEC team gets in every time.
Sure.
That's, I think, what he wants to know. He's going, okay, so we play nine, and there's four teams that are all 7-2, one in the Pac-12, one in the Big Ten, one in the Big 12, and one in the SEC. That 7-2 SEC team's getting in, right? I think that's kind of what it sounds like he's saying.
I would put a 7-2 team over a
8-1 team.
Exactly.
From those other conferences.
Just because, I mean, if those two losses are due, we'll say it again, two teams that are going to be in the playoff, two top 10 teams, to Alabama and Georgia, yeah, then they should be in. See, I think what Greg Byrne is saying, yes, you just hit on right there, they just want to know. And I think if you can ask candidly.
Hey, guys, say it out loud, please. Just say it out loud.
If we polled all 14 SEC ADs and coaches right now, they would say, yeah, what Greg Byrne just said is right.
Yeah, that's how we feel.
We need to know. 656-9900, the NBA Finals, they start tonight. What are our predictions? We'll get Sam's thoughts as well. Alongside Eric Ainge and Sam Foreman, I'm Logan Ward. This is the Eric Ainge Show.
Call or text 865-656-9900 if you want to join us.
So NBA Finals tonight, 8:30, tip, ABC. Denver's a 9-point favorite against the Heat tonight.
I think that's about right.
This is Denver's series to lose, right?
If Denver doesn't win the championship, then that's an all-time fail on their part. Miami is the overachieving team that shouldn't even be there.
They were an 8 seed.
Yeah. They
were in the play.
There was the
play-in game.
Going into the game 4 elimination game between Miami and Boston.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The conversation was Miami hasn't won 4 straight games all season long. And they have a chance to win their 4th game in a row for the first time all year in the Eastern Conference Finals. Overachievers. They play great when it matters. You got to give them that. But Denver is a much better basketball team.
I think that, this NBA Finals is going to be a lot different than what we've seen from the past, because we've seen LeBron in there for however many times. We've seen Giannis. We've seen KD in there with the Warriors. We've seen Steph and Klay without KD. This just looks like two big basketball teams. Yeah, big names. I mean, not that Nikola Jokic and Jimmy Butler's not a big name, but they're not Giannis, Steph, KD, or LeBron.
No. And what's funny about it is
it's probably more interesting, though.
The Joker should be. He won back-to-back MVPs before Embiid won it this year.
Probably should have won the MVP.
He probably should have, but they didn't want to give him 3 in a row. I mean, that call it what it is. They just didn't want to give him 3 in a row. But he is the best player in the NBA right now. The dude gets a triple-double by the time he's done eating breakfast.
I know.
It's insane. He just, the ball bounces to him every time. And it's little things. So if you're a basketball guy or gal, when you watch Denver tonight play, when he passes the ball, when Joker passes the ball, every time he passes, it's like Peyton Manning throwing a football. It hits them right in what you call the shooting pocket. If they're a righty, it hits them on their right, you know, chest plate right there. They're catching the ball and it's up. The best player that no one talks about right now is Jamal Murray. He's insane for Denver. You talk about a one-on-one scoring, three-point shooting, just freak. He's playing outrageous, too. And then they have 5 other guys whose names I can't even tell you.
Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, I mean, they're just really, really, really good. There's no way they lose this series.
It just seems funny because we don't get the big star power names, even though I do agree with you, Jokic and Jimmy Butler should definitely be in there. 2 unsexy franchises in the Heat. Now, the Heat have certainly won, but they won with Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh. But dare I say this brand of basketball is going to be better than anything we've seen recently, just because it's not so star power dominant. Not one guy is just doing it for both teams. Like, Jimmy Butler didn't have the best, you know, game 7. He scored about 28 points, but he didn't shoot the ball that well. A lot of those points came in the fourth quarter there in garbage time. You don't just have one guy taking over for either one of these two teams. And the brand of basketball is going to be a lot better.
You have two teams that, like you just said, rely on the entire team. I know that, I can't even say, Nikola Jokic. I know that I just said he's probably the best player in the NBA, but he's the best player in the NBA no one talks about, and he rarely scores. He's not going to score 40 or 50, hardly ever. He's going to have 26, 14 rebounds, and 12 assists.
Yeah.
Every game. I mean, he's insane. He's fun to watch. He can barely jump. The dude's like over 7 feet tall, and I swear he can barely dunk.
He was drafted behind 40 other players in the 2014
draft. That's crazy.
Jimmy Butler drafted behind 29 other players.
That's crazy, too.
So you have a late first-round pick in Jimmy Butler and a second-round pick, mid-second-round pick in Nikola Jokic.
That's the two stars of the teams. Headliners for the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
I'm with you though. It'll be fun to watch. I think that if you're a casual fan though,
You're not tuning in.
You're probably not tuning in because there isn't a LeBron. You know, there's no Steph Curry. There's no Nate Kevin Durant. There's no name like that. When there's a name like that, I think naturally more people will put it on to see if they win another one, like that storyline.
Or to root against LeBron.
Or to hate watch.
Or root for Steph.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. But I don't, and you don't have fan bases themselves that are going to pull numbers. So
no.
I expect the ratings to be pretty bad. I'm sure from a betting standpoint, it'll be just okay. When you put 9 points in a finals game, you're probably not getting a ton of action on that. I mean, you'll still get a lot, but not if you made it closer than that.
We'll ask Tyler White about that coming up at 11:30. Jimmy Himes says to join the program here in about 5 minutes. But real quick, okay, let's go around the room. Ainge, who you taking series?
Denver in five.
Denver in five. Sam?
I think it's going to be scrappy for both teams because they both play scrappy basketball.
Well, that's how Miami has to win this. Yeah.
So I think it's going to wind up going six. So I'm going to take Denver in six.
That's the other answer.
I got one more game than Ainge, but Denver still wins just six games.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Sam. I think Denver in six is probably the play here. Denver's going to win no matter what. I don't think that we see Denver just sweep them because I think that Miami's going to get at least one, maybe even two. There, it wouldn't surprise me if they get either game three or game four and then win one more in Denver. And I'll take the Nuggets in six. It's going to be a good series. I don't think the ratings are going to be that, you know, great, but.
Finals MVP is Joker.
Jokic, who you taking? Jokic is the safe bet if it's the Nuggets.
Or Jamal Murray.
Or Murray.
Yeah, I mean, I got to take the man who was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. Which
is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Joker was drafted.
They just announced
they were doing
his name. They came back and said, Nikola Jokic drafted. That was during a Taco Bell commercial.
It shows how much I pay attention to the NBA.
Yeah. Which is epic. There was a picture floating around of him. Yeah, I guess he was probably like 10. And like, he was just like, you talk about like a chubby kid. I mean, like chubby.
Yeah.
Chubby, chubby. Have you seen it, Sam?
Yeah, I know which photo you're talking about.
I mean, just like you look at him and you say, that's the best basketball player in the world. And it was him at 10. And he's just like, looks like he's playing the chubby bunny game with a mouthful of marshmallows.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
656-9900. Who do you have winning the NBA Finals? Let us know on the text line. Jimmy Himes, we go down to Destin, Florida. He got the chance to talk to a lot of SEC coaches yesterday. He also talked to Josh Heupel. What did Josh Heupel have to say? Jimmy will tell us, and what other vibes are he getting down in Destin as we talk to Jimmy Himes coming up next right here on the Eric Ainge Show.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show. Appreciate you tuning in up there in the Tri-Cities on the Monster right here in our listening area at 99.1, the Esports Animal.
We now go to the Stanley Fenton Gates Hotline and head south down to Destin, Florida to talk to the man himself, Jimmy Himes. Jimmy, good morning. How's Destin?
Well, it's been incredibly busy for the last few days, and the winds have changed as far as my thoughts on what some of the items, which way some of them might be voted on. So it's been pretty interesting and pretty entertaining so far.
Okay, so what are those changes? I would assume you're talking about the schedule format.
Yes. So yesterday when we interviewed Sam Pittman, he told me that he was all for playing nine games. He thought that was really helpful. But after hearing arguments about on both sides, he's now a supporter of eight games. While Nick Saban won't say it publicly, he is supporting eight games. The athletic director at Alabama said, hey, we have scheduled two Power Five opponents each year for the next 10 years. So if we go to nine conference games, we don't need to be playing two Power Five opponents every year. That would hurt our college playoff football chances.
Exactly.
Matt Hayes was Saturday down south. I don't know if he actually reported this on Saturday down south, but he told some people the vote was 9-5 not to go to a nine-game schedule. Now, I asked the commissioner yesterday, is there a chance that you will have a 1 or 2 year plan and revisit it? He said, absolutely. So here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that for the next 2 years, they're going to have an 8-game schedule and they're going to play the same teams each year and have home and home. For example, you don't want Tennessee to go to Texas 1 year and Texas not return the trip to Knoxville, right? So they're going to have the same eight for 2 years in a row and then revisit it and probably go to the 6-3 format in 2026. Now, that's the way the wind was blowing yesterday. Whether that changes any today, I don't know. Here's the other factor. Even though the coaches or athletic directors might feel one way, Greg Sankey, the commissioner, could visit with presidents and chancellors and convince them the 6-3 format is what needs to be adopted. So this thing is still up in the air, and Sankey will not say if he believes they will take a final vote this week. It was thought that that would happen, but he's hedged on that a little bit.
All right, Jimmy, let's also talk. I saw that you caught up with some SEC head coaches, including the man, the myth, the legend, one Josh Heupel. What was Coach Heupel talking about?
Yeah, we first started talking about McKenzie Milton. He's the quarterback that was at Central Florida that has joined the Tennessee staff, and he was one of the favorites of Heupel when they were at Central Florida. He had an injury, sat out for over 2 years, played at Florida State, and led him to a rally late. He talked about that. I asked him, I said, what do you think has been more important to your recruiting? Is it an 11-win season or having the five of the top 77 players in the NFL draft? And he really couldn't distinguish between the two. He said, look, both of them were important. Now, I wrote a blog the other day, agree or not, that I said that the five Tennessee players drafted, that either none of them would have been drafted or they were drafted higher because they were in Josh Heupel's system. I believe that to be true. Others may argue that, and that's fine. But I think what Heupel has done has been a tremendous asset to those players in getting them drafted, and I think recruits see that. So I think that's been very helpful to him. We touched on the 8 or 9-game schedule. He said, I'll play anybody. It doesn't matter to me. 9-8, I'm okay. Ask about Alabama. He said, I want to play the biggest brands, the biggest names out there. So he is fine with continuing to play Alabama. I couldn't imagine him saying anything else. But those are some of the highlights. I did ask him about Joe Milton, and I got a little bit of pushback from him. I said that I thought Joe Milton may not have been real consistent in 2021, but I thought he showed more consistency last year and during the spring. And he felt like that maybe Joe Milton was more consistent in 2021 than I thought he was. So. But anyway, he believes Milton has really come around, and he expects that Milton to have a big year.
You know, and Jimmy, I actually kind of agree with Heupel. We all take calls on that all the time, and there's the misnomers a little bit that, you know, that Milton, he did miss some deep balls, he missed some stuff. But if you go back and watch some of that early stuff, he was making good decisions with the ball. He doesn't turn it over. I think what Heupel probably sees is he would have been on track if he would have kept getting better. He knows what he would have been, but then he gets hurt, Hooker plays, and so what Heupel thinks would have happened, none of us, you don't really know. But I think that's kind of where that comes from, right? Is I think he thinks he was further ahead and he would have played really well, but then he had this guy named Hendon Hooker who came in and decided to break records. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll admit that I had the Ole Miss thought in mind that Milton ran out of bounds at the end of the game, and I didn't think that was the best decision. So that played in my thinking, Eric. But look, to your point, he saw Milton in practice every day. I didn't. So he has a much better idea of how consistent Milton was in 2021 than I do.
Someone else you got to talk to, Jimmy, as he joins us from Destin, Florida, down at the SEC spring meetings. You talked to the man, Lane Kiffin. He's got three quarterbacks in that room in Jackson Dart, Walker Howard, and also Spencer Sanders, the transfer from Oklahoma State. Did he maybe allude to you at what would, you know, potentially happen there?
No, he just he made it clear that he wasn't going to announce a starter coming out of the spring because he might have lost somebody to the transfer portal, right? And I said, how are you going to keep those guys happy? He said, well, we'll just see. But he mentioned that the competition's open. And, of course, Jackson Dart is a returning starter. Sanders has started Oklahoma State for 3.5 years, I think. So I thought it was intriguing. Now, I did ask him this. I said, how similar is your offense to Tennessee's? And he said, very similar. He pointed out, which I agree with, that it's not one of these line up and throw 50 passes a game. If you look at the final stats in the SEC, Ole Miss and Tennessee are going to rank in the top five in rushing yards per game, right? So they do run the ball a considerable amount. They throw it, yes, they do, and they're wide open about that. But they also spread the field to run it. And he said that the similarities in those offenses were close. I tried to get him to bite on the fake injuries, and he wouldn't do it.
Nice. Good job, Jimmy. You at least tried. You tried.
I tell you.
One other coach, Shane Beamer. That's the game that you would think that Josh Heupel and Tennessee have scheduled there after UTSA, just ahead of the bye week, and also a lot of Tennessee fans have scheduled. Shane Beamer have anything to say about his quarterback Spencer Rattler and his, you know, hopefully, well, for South Carolina, hopefully he can tap into what he did the last three games of last season for this upcoming year?
Well, I got a little bit of pushback from him too, because I asked Beamer, I said, the first 10 games or so, Rattler was just kind of an average quarterback, and then he was terrific against Tennessee and Clemson and Notre Dame. He said, well, no, I think he was playing good football, okay. But I didn't see all of their games. So, but statistically, he was brilliant against Tennessee. I said, was there different play calling? Did you just open it up? He said, no. He said that Rattler just got hot, and he carried over to the Clemson game. And actually, in the bowl game, I know Notre Dame beat him, but they scored 38 points.
He played good.
He believes Rattler has found himself. He expects him to be very productive. He's got an outstanding receiver in Juice Wells. Now, they got hurt a little bit in the transfer portal at running back. They're also, their offensive line's a little bit of a concern. But he feels very comfortable about Rattler and where the offense is going to be.
Jimmy, we appreciate it as always. What do you all have scheduled today, and who made the trip down to Destin possible this year?
I'm scheduled to interview Danny White. Interestingly, he lost his voice yesterday, so we have postponed our interview till today. Hopefully he's got his voice back. And that's really about all. I'm going to be part of a what they call an opportunity forum, in which I'm going to interview a candidate, somebody that's a younger person that wants to be an athletic director. And they have asked me to ask him questions that make him uncomfortable.
Oh, there we go.
Well, that's right up my alley.
That is right. You were born for this forum, Jimmy.
Man, I'm looking forward to that. That's like making a 2-foot putt. But there's not a lot scheduled other than that. There'll be the awards banquet tonight. I'll try to catch up with a couple of other ADs. And all the coaches have gone. They have all left. So I'm done interviewing coaches. But I really do want to thank Harper Volkswagen. They made the trip possible. They allowed me to drive a T1 vehicle down here. This has been a family-owned business since 1981, so I appreciate that. Miller Brothers Transmission Auto Repair and Body Shop. Honest, dependable, and affordable for over 40 years. The Sunspot Restaurant, where tie-dyes and neckties unite. Rusty Wallace Kia, home of the original 200,000-mile warranty. Fleet Tire, you flat them, they fix them. And Field House Social, Tennessee's sports bar.
Jimmy, we appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Jimmy Himes joins us on the Stanley Fitzing and Gates Hotline.
Oh, yeah, I would love to be a fly on the wall for that forum when he's asking the want-to-be athletic director those tough questions.
Man, what do you think he's going to ask?
Something about maybe a coach getting in trouble. You had a player arrested for,
or the hard-hitting ones is a hot dog, a sandwich.
How are you going to handle that?
Yeah.
Something like that. He'll do just fine.
656-9900. We'll get your thoughts from the text box coming up next. Sam Foreman is here. Eric Ainge is here. Myself, Logan Ward, is here on the Eric Ainge Show.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's the Eric Ainge Show at 99.1 The Sports Animal and on the Sports Monster up in the Tri-Cities. Thank you for being with us here on a Thursday afternoon here, 10:48, ahead of Florida, Alabama, Georgia. And Brian Rice joins the program coming up here in about 12 minutes to also preview Tennessee, Alabama over at the College World Series in Oklahoma City today. So, Ainge, got to ask you during the break, friend of the station, Barrett Salee, he came out with his... He tweeted this morning here about an hour and a half ago, the SEC should go to a 9-game conference schedule. But here's his idea. So this is, of course, a 6-3 format. So you have your three permanent opponents, the other six games, they rotate 1 year to the next. He says with those three games, only one of them should be a traditional rival, which you would assume for Tennessee purposes, that's going to be the in-state rival, Vanderbilt. Foregone conclusion, that's going to happen. And then the other two... would essentially just be drawn out of a hat at random. Where are you at? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
He does a lot of good work. That is a horrible idea. You have a chance to keep rivalries in the game. There's nothing random about the passion and love and intensity of Southeastern Conference football. If you did that, you'd get Vanderbilt. And then what if you draw Mississippi State and Arkansas?
Yeah, that sucks.
So now we're just going to decide that we hate Mississippi State and Arkansas every time? I mean, yeah, like, come on. That's dumb.
I see what he's saying. You don't want to just destroy someone's season because Auburn, for example. They're going to get Alabama, obviously. You would assume
they're going to get Georgia.
You assume that they're going to get Georgia? I mean, those are top two teams in the country, the two best programs in the country. Now, you know, maybe Hugh Freeze can get Auburn back to what Auburn believes that they should be and what we have seen them be here in, you know, the recent past. That's trying to find a happy medium, or you kind of go to a tier scale for Tennessee purposes. Okay, you want to go to the bottom tier. You take Vanderbilt, the middle tier, you take one of South Carolina, Kentucky. Those two teams have been reported as the, you know, two of three. And then you go to the top tier and you take Alabama. That's more balanced.
Maybe, but here's the thing. If you do the permanent rivals, man, Alabama is going to get Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. And if you're an Alabama fan, you're going, that's not fair. You've been playing them every year forever. That nothing changes. You already play an Iron Bowl. You already play the third Saturday in October, and you already play LSU every year. So getting those three teams as a permanent opponent, being like, that's not fair. You already play them every year. What makes it fun is you don't know what other six games you're going to get. So if you're Alabama, you're going, we kind of like what we have. Sure, we have to play Tennessee. Now they're good. We don't love that, but the schedule is what it is. So yeah, on some given years, you have to play those teams, which you already have to. But now instead of playing Georgia every 7 years, you're going to play Georgia every other year. So that if you're Alabama, you go, well, that's not fair. Okay, well, if you're Tennessee, you're not going to get Georgia as a permanent opponent. But you know what you're going to have to do every 2 years? Play Georgia.
You think coaches would
like... It's the same.
Would coaches like Barrett's idea?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Really?
No, not making them permanent. Just create permanent opponents. What if it's random?
But just have them drawn at random?
Yeah, because you could end up... What if Georgia plays... Who would Georgia's team be? Auburn?
Their permanent opponent? Their traditional rival?
Their game that they're Florida.
Florida. Sure.
So they get Florida. So Georgia's going to play Florida every year. And then you do this random thing. What if they get Vanderbilt and Mississippi State? And then you're looking at it in the SEC and you go, whoa. The best team in the country now gets to play Vandy and Mississippi State every single year? No. And what if you're Tennessee and you get Vanderbilt and then you get Alabama and Georgia drawn at random? You're going, whoa. So, and that's my examples don't work, but I'm saying you can't make it random. You do random stuff when random is what you're already doing. The SEC is not random. The passion's not random. The rivalries aren't random. Scheduling, some of it should be, but some of it shouldn't be. That's why you already have your permanent opponent, and then you just rotate one game. Okay, now you'll have three permanent opponents, and you'll rotate six. There will be years when doing this model where you get rid of the divisions, where there will be a team like Auburn. Oh, let's use Auburn for an example. They get Alabama, Georgia, and who was the other one we said they'll get? Alabama, Georgia,
I don't know if there's another obvious one. I think that you would have to give them someone like Mississippi State, Missouri, just because.
Okay, then let's use Bama, who gets LSU, Auburn and Tennessee. Okay, there's going to be a year where they, and depending on how it is, because it's going to stay, where they're going to get Georgia and they're going to get Ole Miss, and they're going to get South Carolina, and they're going to get the other best teams in the conference. And Alabama's going to look at their schedule, and they're going to go, we have to play those nine games? That's the nine best teams in the conference.
And that's going to happen most years, too.
That's going to happen, and it's going to make it harder on some teams in some years to win. But you only have to be top 12 now. That's the whole kicker in the whole thing. And there's going to be years where you look at schedule. We do schedule releases. I mean, you look at what Georgia's schedule has been lately. And you look at that and you go, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
That's their permanent cross-division opponent?
Like
and that's the team they drew?
Non-conference-wise, it's a bit light.
I just think that it will make it will even the playing field more. And there will be some teams that have it tough, and there'll be some teams that have it a little easier. But those teams that have the permanent opponents a little easier, they still have to play the other teams in the conference every other year. It's not like if you get a lucky draw, you know, your three permanent opponents, you're like, woo. Like if you were, if Tennessee, let's say Tennessee did get the Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky, the rest of the conference would be like, that's not fair. They'd be like, they could play Vandy and Kentucky every single year.
But once you think about it, it seems, I think that's the most fair.
Well, but from a, if you're Alabama, you're going, so we have to play LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn, and Tennessee gets to play us, Vandy, and Kentucky.
Well, that sucks.
So that sucks. But the other six games, you still have to play the other best teams. You're still going to have to play Georgia. Tennessee's still going to have to play LSU. Tennessee's still going to have to play South Carolina and Ole Miss. They're going to have to play Texas A&M. They're going to have to play all those guys. You're still playing almost the whole conference every year.
All these SEC schools are going to buy out of their big non-conference.
Well,
games,
I think
right?
so. I think that's probably.
I mean, Georgia 1 year.
I think they should.
I mean, Georgia 1 year has Clemson and Ohio State the same year. Like, what are we doing? And you're still going to have to play Florida, Alabama potentially. But hey, it's Georgia. Hey, no one really cares. 656-9900. Brian Rice, he joins the program as we kick off the third hour, the third and final hour of the Eric Gaines Show, playing Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Brian Rice joins coming up next.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.